Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in His house today. Influence. Effect. Inspiration. Impact. Stimulus. Guidance. Power. Sway. Influence. And the positive and the negative. Influence in the good and the bad. And the varying degrees of its nature and resolve. Influence and the result. There is no doubt that influence is alive, active, present in our world. Throughout the ages, and in this age and time, each and every day, the mission of influence, the operation, the assignment, the purpose, the intent, the motive, no matter the age, infant, child, youth, adult, there are influences, there is influencing, and there are influencers. And I would imagine it a fair statement, a true statement, that every person in this place today has been on the receiving end of influence and on the delivering end of influence. We've influenced someone. We're influencing somebody. Someone's influenced us. Somebody's most likely influencing us now. Something's influenced us. Something's most likely influencing us day in and day out, influence in our world. Well, you say, I have no influence, or little, so little. Everyone has influence, and no degree of influence should ever be despised. I think of the Sunday school teacher who influenced a young man many, many years ago now. The young man trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior and decided to devote his life to serving him. The young man, Dwight L. Moody. Oh, for healthy influence such as this. Healthy. And even heavenly influence. What a world we live in. Quite the world. You know, I can't even imagine the quantified sum of negative influence and influencing happening every single day. Bad, harmful, damaging, demoralizing, even demonizing. It's infecting nature. It's devouring nature. It's gripping nature, controlling nature, enthralling nature. I wonder the quantified sum of positive influence and influencing happening every single day. Which outweighs the other? I wonder the quantified sum of holy and righteous, pure and godly and sound and Jesus influence, influencing, happening every single day. Heaven knows we need more of this. And so too, heaven's residents living an alien life on this planet. Church, people of God, we are here with purpose. And we are here to bring the right influence every single day in every environment, in every place the sole of our foot treads. Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Popular verse, no doubt. And yet is it living and active? The Message paraphrase, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Oh, light of the world, city on a hill, lamp on a lampstand, light bearers. It starts at home. God let it start at home. And what an impact in the world if we would begin at home. Light of the world. But how about light of the home? Glorious influence. Lord, we need help with this. A child and children. Every day are being influenced by a parent, by parents. Watching, observing, in some cases mimicking, copying, looking up to, influenced by demeanor and attitude and character and dialogue and conviction and commitment and ethic and labor and entertainment and social interaction, and even influenced by the influences that are influencing their parents. All for fathers in the Word and fathers of the Word. Mothers in the Word and mothers of the Word, holy influence. Leaders in the home that carry themselves in right manner, hold to the precepts and standards of Almighty God and watch over their home, guard and guide their home. Those that are aware of enemy tactics. I share these words, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God may not be something you do, but someone you raise. Lord, we need revival in the home. A revival of Christian discipline and obedience. A revival of right morals and ethics. A revival of pure flow. A revival of love and care and concern called true godly. The legacy of faith. Narrow and steep. But the eternal rewards are beyond what we can imagine. I've shared this quote before. John Wesley said, what one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. You know, concerning children, we are raising souls for the kingdom, not children for the world. We may have in our eyes no real influence outside of the home. But there is no doubt that we are influencing our own home, our own family, and in this, the generation and generations to come, should the good Lord tarry. Put it into right perspective. Well, one states, I live alone. Well, what of self-influence? Hear the choosing of either godly influence or godless influence, or form of godly denial, denying of power. That which we are willingly subjecting ourselves to, opening ourselves up to, that which we are filling our cup with and drinking it in. Some influences come at us on their own, and yet there are those we choose. There are those we open ourselves up to. There are those we surrender to. We welcome. Sphere and spheres, environments, places, platforms, placements, influence and influences and influencers. Watch the feed. Watch the feeding. You know, thank God for them. You know, the ones, the holy ones, the godly ones, and the ones that use them for holy purpose. Thank God for them, the realms, and may we honor God with them should He grant us a stage. Honor God in them. Serve place and people in right and righteous manner, that concerning all there be the influence the Lord would desire and approve of, the very endorsement and commendation of the Lord. Imagine if every Christian became the kind of influencer that Jesus would endorse, that Jesus would commend and even recommend. Ephesians 2:1-8, and you He made alive when you were spiritually dead and separated from Him because of your transgressions and sins in which you once walked. You were following the ways of the world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Among these unbelievers, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by the sinful self, indulging the desires of human nature, that is flesh, without the Holy Spirit and the impulses of the sinful mind. We were by nature children under the sentence of God's wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, being so very rich in mercy because of His great and wonderful love with which He loved us, even when we were spiritually dead and separated from Him because of our sins, He made us spiritually alive together with Christ. For by His grace, His undeserved favor and mercy, you have been saved from God's judgment. And He raised us up together with Him when we believed and seated us with Him in heavenly places, because we are in Christ Jesus. And He did this so that in the ages to come He might clearly show the immeasurable and unsurpassed riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, by providing for our redemption. For it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment and given eternal life through faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, not through your own effort, but it is the undeserved, gracious gift of God. What kind of influence are we under now? What kind of influence are we now under, and what kind of influence do people give out and live out that are spiritually alive together with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places? Hebrews 7:26, Jesus is the kind of high priest we need. He is holy, sinless, pure, not influenced by sinners. And he is raised above the heavens. J.C. Ryle said these words, "The work of grace once begun in the soul will never stand still. It will gradually leaven the whole lump. Like leaven once introduced, it can never be separated from that with which it is mingled. Little by little, it will influence the conscience, the affections, the mind, and the will until the whole man is affected by its power and a thorough conversion to God takes place." 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. "It is a reason for pride and exaltation to which our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world generally and especially toward you with devout and pure motives and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, the unmerited favor and merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ and keeps, strengthens, and increases them in Christian virtues." Romans 6:11, reading from the Voice. "So here is how to picture yourself. Now that you have been initiated into Jesus the Anointed, you are dead to sin's power and influence, but you are alive to God's rule." Living epistles. And hear the call. Follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. In the way or in the way. You know, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, the Bible says. We know that there is intentional and what one might call unintentional influence. We must view both. We must examine both, for we are responsible concerning these. Yes, even the so-called unintentional. Matthew 18, 1-7, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, enticements to sin. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." Woe to the world because of offenses. Woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Enticements to sin. That's what's being said here. Causing a little one to sin. Causing a little one to stumble. Causing a brother or sister to stumble. What of the unbeliever? You know, we should be those that cause little ones and not so little ones, believers and even non-believers, to walk, move, stride, not stumble, fumble, trip up, or fall. Practice what you preach. And preach what you practice. Preaching and not practicing is not wholesome influence. 1 Timothy 4:12, "Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." To the believers, yes. And to unbelievers also, the Darby translation, "Be a model of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. The NLV, they should be able to follow you. They should be able to follow you in the way you talk and in what you do. Show them how to live in faith and in love and in holy living. Living before the world. 1 Peter 2:12, beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Colossians 4, 5 to 6, walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The message, use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, be wise in your behavior towards non-Christians and make the best possible use of your time. Speak pleasantly to them, but never sentimentally. And learn to give a proper answer to every questioner. Philippians 1, 27 to 28, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and do not in any way, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, that is, of your salvation, and that from God. We got it, Lord. Thank you for the word, Lord. Beware of seduction. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. And we might use the same verse from another translation and bring this application, the Amplified Classic. The consistently righteous man is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked causes others to go astray. The NLV, the man who is right with God is a teacher to his neighbor, but the way of the sinful leads them the wrong way. So we must be careful, we must beware, the righteous, that we are not seduced by the way of the wicked, and we must be guides to our neighbors and never lead them astray. Bad company corrupts, and this both ways. You know what the NIV, how the NIV reads? The righteous choose their friends carefully. I just helped someone today. Might just save someone today. Might just deliver someone today. Walk with the wise, be wise. Companion of fools, destruction. When influence leads astray, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Led astray in any way, shape, or form. People of God, guard self. Guard self from unhealthy influence. Galatians 5, 7, you were doing so well. Who stopped you from being influenced by the truth? Colossians 2:20, if you have died with Christ to the world's way of doing things, why do you let others tell you how to live? It's as though you were still under the world's influence. I mean, these are quite the verses. 2 Timothy 2:21. So whoever cleanses himself from that which is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. Jeremiah 15:19-21, if you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. They will fight against you like an attacking army, but I will make you as secure as a fortified wall of bronze. They will not conquer you, for I am with you to protect and rescue you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Yes, I will certainly keep you safe from these wicked men. I will rescue you from their cruel hands. Ephesians 4:13-14. We must become like a mature person, growing until we become like Christ and have his perfection. Then we will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed about like a ship that the waves carry one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and try any kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. Influence. A world full of it. Day in and day out. Each and every day. The good and the bad, the healthy and the unhealthy. Just because influence is close to home doesn't make it acceptable to be accepted. Listen to this verse, 1 Kings 21:25. There was no one like Ahab who had chosen so often to do what the Lord said was wrong because his wife Jezebel influenced him to do evil. I mean, that's worth repeating. Well, it's my wife. Or it's my husband. First and foremost, you are God's. Lover of soul. But too many are just caught up in the soulmate realm. There was no one like Ahab who had chosen so often to do what the Lord said was wrong, less than right even, because his wife Jezebel influenced him to do evil. Ah, people of God, we have not received the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6:1, laboring together as God's fellow workers with him then, we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose. The grace of God has changed us, and the grace of God is changing us. God exerting his holy influence on our souls, and this exerting on our souls influences souls. That's how it works. And even the souls of those that have not yet received the grace of God. Everyone has influence. A sphere, and no matter the scope, it must not be despised or degraded. Never downplay what you think is little influence. Take stock of the influence God has given you, the influence you have and are having. We talked about children. Or young believers. How about a new coworker? Or one weaker in the faith? Or one deceived? One less knowledgeable. You know, we may not even realize the influence and the impact the eyes that are upon us and watching us, how we really are affecting others. You know something? We are bringing influences every day. One man stated, we're bringing influences every day, and the life that you live proves what's on the inside of you. You cannot change that. It reflects. Every person reflects outside what he is inside. We're bringing influences every day. Maintain healthy influence. Keep it healthy. Stay healthy. James 1:27. Religion that God accepts as pure and without fault is this. Beautiful. Caring for orphans or widows who need help. You're like, I give my money every month. Check. And keeping yourself free from the world's evil influence. Keep free. Stay free. And this, James 3:6. And the tongue is like a fire. It is a whole world of evil among the parts of our bodies. The tongue spreads its evil through the whole body. The tongue is set on fire by hell, and it starts a fire that influences all of life. Speech, dialogue, conversation, conversing. How are we doing? Don't lose your good influence. Luke 14:34 to 35. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, the rubbish heap. But men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Billy Graham said these words, the devil will try to discourage you, to divert you. He will seek to dilute your testimony. He will attempt anything to destroy your relationship to Christ and your influence upon others. And it's true. You know, it's true that sometimes influence is just that. It doesn't always mean someone will be influenced or receive it. Be the good and the godly, that's the call. Be the influence God wants you to be, would want you to be, and don't worry about the reach or the results. Leave that in God's hands. Don't let influence lose holy purpose and intent. Keep influence incorruptible and innocent. If others follow you no longer, walk with you no longer, so be it. It's what they did to Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus was like, I'm losing my influence? Or the Apostle Paul, he turned away from him, followed him no longer. Well, Paul, what am I going to do? I got no influence. All the followers are gone. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Because the call is to follow Christ. That's my mandate. That's what I've chosen. That's what I have to do. And so, if I got to walk alone, it's okay. I remember what Ravenhill said. Great eagles fly alone. Great lions hunt alone. Alone with God. I'd rather be alone with God than have compromise in my life and all the followers. Because one day, judgment. And even now. Romans 16:19, for your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple, that is innocent concerning evil. Philip's New Testament, your loyalty to the principles of the gospel is known everywhere. Imagine And that gives me great joy. I want to see you experts in good and not even beginners in evil. Just because we have influence doesn't mean it's healthy. Time for a checkup. Just because someone has influence doesn't mean it's healthy, pure, and holy. Even in the kingdom. Line it up with the Word. Line it up with the pure Word. Psalm 119, you're saying, well, how can I cleanse my way today? I love it. Verses 9 to 16. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate, that is, look into your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Romans 12, 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When influence catches influenza, sickly and infected, and infecting, spreading ones. Oh, for an influence ER, emergency response, an emergency room, perhaps an affluence ER, too. May need gospels or a virtuous vaccine or a full-blown surgical procedure, Lord knows. Pray for influence for the right reasons. Not for pride or self-focus, gratification, power, etc. Not a look at me focus, but rather a look at Jesus, focus. Proverbs 11:11, the good influence of godly citizens causes a city to prosper, but the moral decay of the wicked drives it downhill. Acts 12:24, but the word of the Lord continued, please God, let it happen. But the word of the Lord continued to gain ground and increase its influence. Let's get practical for a moment. Although we've already been there. A good example, an example of good godly influence, going to God's house. You coming? An example of good godly influence, going to God's house. You coming? Your neighbor sees you every Sunday, going to God's house. Or do they see you going to God's house less and less as the great day approaches? Going to God's house. You coming? Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The message, so let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging. In encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. He's surely coming. Can you feel it too? All this tension growing stronger. It's just a sign he's getting closer. He's already on the move. We're under the influence. Yeah, under the influence. We're talking about in the right way. Some are under the influence in the wrong way because of the company that they keep, because of that which they've opened themselves up to, because of the influence they've embraced and are allowing. We're talking about being under the influence in the positive, in the righteous, in the holy, in the right. And I think of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost is poured out. Well, how about Romans 6, 15 to 21? Now, what shall we do? Shall we go on sinning because we have no law to condemn us anymore, but are living under grace? Never. Just think what it would mean. You belong to the power which you choose to obey, whether you choose sin, whose reward is death, or God, obedience to whom means the reward of righteousness. Thank God that you, who were at one time the servants of sin, honestly responded to the impact of Christ's teaching when you came under its influence. Then, released from the service of sin, you entered the service of righteousness. I use an everyday illustration because human nature grasps truth more readily that way. In the past, you voluntarily gave your bodies to the service of vice and wickedness for the purpose of becoming wicked. So now, give yourselves to the service of righteousness for the purpose of becoming really good. For when you were employed by sin, you owed no duty to righteousness. Yet what sort of harvest did you reap from those things that today you blush to remember? In the long run, those things mean only one thing: death. Holy addiction. 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, the first fruits, and that they have, I love it, addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. We need more addicts in the kingdom. Influence, influences, and influencers. Guess what? No new thing. Been around for a long time. Look back to Genesis. The snake was an influencer. And ever present throughout the ages, and new influence and influences and influencers shall yet come. Right now, who is influencing you? What is influencing you? You know, sometimes the infection takes time to surface. Have our influences and influence rendered us infected and affected? We might even take a look at attitude. This can be a measuring stick. I read these words: attitude is greatly shaped by influence and association. Line it all up with the word, and if need be, seek wise counsel. Those that are honest, not just those who tell you what you want to hear. Any influence that weakens resolve, dilutes passion, fragments fervor, grinds against holy unity is not proper. And so too the ones that turn these to other things rather than kingdom and righteousness first. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. And why have we come? 1 John 5:18 to 21, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, that is, guards himself. And the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Like, so be it. A.W. Tozer, he said, does it not seem strange that the generation with the most advanced technology and the easiest to read Bible translations is the weakest generation of Christians in the history of our country? Church attendance has never been lower, and the Christian influence in our culture never weaker. Sobering words. Thank God for a holy remnant. The reserved. 1 Kings 19:18, I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Let's have the worship ministry return. Love these next verses. Acts 19:13-20, but there were some inherent Jewish exorcists who attempt to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus when dealing with those who had evil spirits. I wonder if it's happening today. Just think about it. Just think about it. They would say, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Seven brothers, sons of a chief priest called Sceva, were engaged in this practice on one occasion when the evil spirit answered, Jesus I know, and I am acquainted with Paul, but who on earth are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was living sprang at them and overpowered them all with such violence that they rushed out of that house wounded, and their clothes were torn off their backs. This incident became known to all the Jews and Greeks who were living in Ephesus, and a great sense of awe came over them all. While the name of the Lord Jesus became highly respected, many of those who had professed their faith began openly to admit their former practices. A number of those who had previously practiced magic collected their books and burned them publicly. They estimated the value of these books and found it to be no less than 5,000 pounds. In this way, the word of the Lord continued to grow irresistibly in power and influence. It's time to take stock. These words, the whole hope of human progress is suspended on the ever-growing influence of the Bible. Lord, we want to bring you glory. Lord, we want to shine for you. And so, Lord, our eyes are on you. We're fixing our eyes on you, Jesus. A generation of beholders, those that behold the Lord. David Wilkerson said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We become what we observe. The focus of our attention spreads its influence all through our lives. What we behold with our spiritual eyes obsesses us. It takes over. Paul chose to be obsessed with Christ. The Savior became the sole object of his thinking, his preaching, his doctrine. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2. We want to use it all. We want to use it all to influence people in right, righteous, and holy manner. Shepherd of our souls, lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Capacity for delusion. Capacity for delusion. Billy Graham said, the Bible plainly teaches that one of the characteristics of the end of this age is that people will develop a capacity for delusion rather than the truth. I think we're there. A word to those in the room this morning that do not know Jesus Christ. I quote, Many of you, instead of facing up to the realities of sin and defeat in your own life, are trying to hide in an elusive imaginary world. But the Bible warns there is no possible way of escape. Sooner or later, we must leave our dream world and face up to the facts of God, of sin, and of judgment. Men and women are trying to escape through imagination, pleasure, false security, or self-sufficiency. But the Bible warns there is no such escape. However, there is good news for all who are seeking a way out. There is one way of escape. There is one way of deliverance. Following the frightening words, "How shall we escape?" we are told about God's way of escape. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone and release those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2, 9 and 15. He is the way of escape that God has provided. God brings us to himself. God brings us to himself. The way of escape is Jesus Christ. He's the only way. It's the only way of escape out of your imaginary, twisted world. One day you're going to have to wake up. But all that you'd wake up today, Jesus is the answer. Come to him in simple childlike faith and he will be your way of escape. And what a wonder. What a miracle that he brings us to himself and then sends us back into the world as witnesses. His influence. You're saying, I don't know if I can handle that, God. Well, we serve a God of miracles. And as Leonard Ravenhill stated, the greatest miracle that God can do today is to take an unholy man out of an unholy world and make him holy, then put him back into that unholy world and keep him holy in it. Amos 4:12. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. And can you hear it prophetically today? Prepare to meet thy God. How much longer do we have? How much longer do I have? I have no idea. I might not be here next Sunday. You might not be here next Sunday. I might not even be here tonight. Prepare to meet thy God. Take a look at your life, the influence and the influences that you're opening yourself up to, subjecting yourself to. Prepare to meet thy God. Ahab continued to do what was not right because he listened to his wife. When you meet God, your wife will not be beside you. And you cannot say to the Lord in those moments, it's because of her. It's because of my soulmate. It will not go well when you're talking to the one who is to be the lover of your soul. Listen, we have a generation that is being influenced in the wrong way. Are we blind? Are we deaf? God help us. God help us. God help the children. I think children are a gift. God has given souls into homes, and we're messing around. It's just messing around. We're trying. We give them some advice, but we don't live out the advice. We're weak. There's no power. But there's hope. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy... Imagine if every single person that called themselves by the name of Jesus woke up and lived in that manner. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. A young person goes to the movie theater with their friends, and their friends are saying, this is what we want to watch. And I just pray that somehow Prepare to Meet Thy God shows up. On their devices, the one-eyed devil. Prepare to meet thy God. Friends, prepare to meet thy God. Parents, get up on Sunday morning. Prepare to meet thy God. Going to God's house, you coming? And listen, until they're 18 and can make a decision, there should be no discussion. Zero. They come to live with you. You didn't come to live with them. Train a child up in the way that child should go. You see what's happening today? We didn't train the child up in the way they should go, and we're just like, I can't figure it out. I don't get it. Well, you didn't do what you're supposed to do. That's brass tacks. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. I mean, let's call things straight today, you know? You know, if someone puts a purple card in front of you and you're like, oh, it's green. God help us now. Prepare to meet thy God. You know what? They wouldn't. They refused. And judgment came. Many people plan at some point to make peace with God. At some point. Or, you know, to get things right with God. Was it so with these? And it never happened? Never happened. Influence. Influences. Influencers. Every parent in this house is an influencer. Do you know that every husband in this house should be an influencer? You're supposed to be the head of your home. But you know, today, and please just accept this, I don't mean this in any way except this, there are a lot of men who are supposed to be the head of the home and they're the tail. They're not even the neck. And guess what? Your kids can see it. They're watching you. And if your kid's in the Word, they're reading the Bible, you know? They're like, that's what a man of God's supposed to be like. And then, let me look, Dad. You know, I'm not saying we're perfect. We all have to grow. But oh, that we would grow. That we would go on and we would move on. Because God wants to bless His church. And God cares so much about the next generation. And maybe that's why this message came today. And I'm not saying my world is perfect, because it is not. Listen, we are all level at the foot of the cross. Every single one of us. Just because you stand on a platform and preach the Word does not mean that the Word is not reading you and judging you. It has to be applied in your life, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've been at this. You know that many, they go on in life, they go on, and the pressures of life influence them. Relationships begin to influence them later on in life. And those that were so strong, those that were so committed in the faith, it begins to wane because they can't handle, you know, relational tension and whatever it might be. We got to stick to what is right, because one day, maybe that person, the blinders will fall off, the ears will be unstopped, and they'll say, I'm going to God's house with you. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.